Our lesson today is taken out of the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. It is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. We find that there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. It is practically the desire of each and every person in this world to become rich. Everyone is seeking to get ahead and to have enough to live on for the rest of their life. Some people, they are born rich. Some people, they become rich overnight. Other people, through a long series of transactions in business and placing their money in good investments, they get rich. And now most of us likewise think that if we became rich, our worries would be over financially. But the rich likewise, they have their troubles and their worries. They look to put their money into sound investments. And they're hoping that where they place their money, the business that it is in may prosper and may go ahead. They fear sometimes that it will not be so. They likewise live in fear that thieves may come and steal what they have. The rich, it is true, are not worrying where the next meal is coming from. But they too worry a great deal in this life concerning their money. This is their strong castle. This is what they build upon. This man, he fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in purple and in linen. Purple dresses and clothes were used by royalty and people of rank. There was a good market in this sort of clothes in the eastern countries. Linen likewise was used by priests and men of nobility. Linen was brought from Egypt because there the best flax was obtainable from which linen was woven. This man, he fared sumptuously. Every day he had a feast. His table was spread with the delicacies of this world. He had servants waiting upon him, and he enjoyed everything that he possibly could and that money could buy. This then was the state, the condition, and the life of this rich man. And now there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at the rich man's gate. He was covered with sores. And the dogs came and they licked the sores of this beggar. We do not read that the rich man was given any name. But here is a poor man, a beggar, a man that was in poverty, a man that had nothing, and that was so afflicted that he could not even walk. He had to be carried and he had to be laid at the rich man's gate. It is probable that this rich man lived in a beautiful house. He had probably a wall and a fence around the place, and he had gates to keep intruders out. But whoever were permitted to go through the gate, they went past this particular man, Lazarus. Lazarus is then his name. Lazarus, he was very poor. He was an object of pity. This rich man going in and out of the gate totally ignored him. We do not even read where he was laid at this gate, and he sought to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, that even these crumbs were given to him. There we have then an object of pity, of mercy, and of compassion in this man Lazarus. Surely when the rich man seen this poor man laying his gate, he should have stuck his hand into his pocket and should have gave him something, but we do not read that he did so. And now, my hearers, this rich man, he kept a kennel of dogs. And these dogs, they were well fed and well kept. And when they seen this Lazarus lying at the gate, filled with sores, they came to this poor Lazarus and they licked on his sores. Whether they were excited by the blood and the sores that he had on his body, or whether they did this in a token of friendliness and kindness, is a question. But we have here a rich man feeding his dogs, keeping them very good, as so many rich people do. They have dogs, they have cats, they have animals, and they feed them and take care of them. But here was a poor beggar lying at his gate who he totally ignored. He gave him nothing. It's the same way today yet, people. There are many people, they think more of their dog and more of their cat and more of an animal than they do of somebody that they see sitting at the side begging. Every one of us probably has seen people begging. You go downtown, you see a blind man, he's begging. You see another man without any feet, he's begging. They are objects of pity and of compassion. Such was Lazarus. But now, whether we be rich, whether we be poor, whether we be wise, or whether we be ignorant and foolish, there is a time coming that we all must die. And now we read that this man Lazarus, this beggar, he died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This poor man then, when he died, we don't read that he had a funeral. They probably just dug a hole in the ground. They dumped his body in it, and that was the end of this poor beggar. Nobody cared about him. They were only too glad to get rid of him. But lo and behold, there came angels sent by God to carry this man's soul to heaven above. What a contrast, my hearers, we have here. Viewing the rich man, I think we all would like a life like that. But viewing this beggar, not one of us would choose something like that. But when it came to the point when they were to die, then I think we would rather choose the beggar's journey. For he was taken into heaven above. The Jews, they speak of three heavens. The aerial heaven, where the birds fly in and where storms are formed. Also the second heaven, which they claim to be, where the stars are and the sun and the moon is. And also the third heaven, the residence of God and the angels and the saints. Heaven is called a place, not just a state, but a place, because Christ says, I go to prepare a place for thee, that where I am, ye may be also. I will come again and take you to be with me. It is considered then a place. For further confirmation thereof, we have the body of Christ, the body of Elijah, and the body of Enoch. Where are these bodies? They are in a place, in heaven above. And when the resurrection shall take place, then all the saints will enter into this place called heaven. It is a glorious place, Much is written about heaven in the scriptures. It is a place where the honor of God doth dwell. It's a place where God is glorified and all the angels are singing to his honor and to his glory. It's a place where there never be any more sin, any more sorrow, any more grief. Oh, what a wonderful place this beggar went to, don't you think so? Oh, what a deliverance it was for Lazarus. So poor, so ragged, so filled with pain, and so many sores on his body. He was taken to be in glory above, delivered from all his outward poverty, from his sores, and he was taken to view the face of his Savior and of his Redeemer. There may be thoughts in your mind concerning what we read in Scripture that David said in his time that he never saw a godly man and his seed begging bread. My hearers, it is true. Had the Jews observed the laws that God had given unto them and obeyed them, there would never have been a Hebrew that was a beggar. But being disobedient to the divine laws, when Christ was upon earth, there were many Hebrews that were beggars. They came into poverty because of their disobedience. But this beggar, he went to glory, to be with his Lord and Savior forever and ever. Have you any hope that you are going to the same place where this beggar went to? Let me then teach you that you must become in a spiritual sense just like this beggar was. This beggar, he was poor. You likewise must become spiritually poor. Oh, when God begins a work of grace in our hearts, my hearers, then we become the poorest wretch upon earth, spiritually. We haven't anything. We need everything. We need food. We need clothing. We need light. We need everything that God has. And as such a poor creature, that we learn to beg, just like Lazarus. He begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Are you one of those creatures that are begging for the crumbs that fall from the master's table? This man, Lazarus, he was covered with sores, and they were very painful. We read in Psalm 22 that dogs would compass the Lord Jesus about. Strong bulls of Bashan shall compass me about, and dogs they shall gape upon me. This man Lazarus experienced this outwardly. The dogs licked his sores. But spiritually, it meant that these wicked Jews, they would surround Christ at his trial. They would gape upon him, and they would surround him at his cross and mock him and deride him. And such do worldly creatures mock and deride the righteous. They are as dogs. They bark at them, and they treat them very cruelly. They would injure them if they could. My hearers, what a blessing if you are such a character. You have been given to beg. And what do you beg for? You beg for mercy. Is that your plea? God, be merciful to me. And that God, who was a fountain of mercy, who in mercy sought you out, who in mercy bore with you all the days of your life, who in mercy will take you to be with himself forever and ever. Oh, what a wonderful eternity awaits such spiritual beggars as I have just been describing. And my hearers, we read, and the rich man died. When he died, they gave him a stately funeral. There were many carriages, and they carried his body in state to the cemetery. He probably had a wonderful tomb to be laid in. He had a beautiful stone erected over his grave. His name was engraved thereon, the age when he was born and when he died. And probably at the funeral service, many good things were said about him. You know, even money today will buy a minister to speak well of those that have gone to hell. And probably it was with this man the same way. But we read, what do we read? That when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments, and he seeth Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. This man went to hell. The Jews have two names for this word. They call hell Sheol and Hades. It's a place of torment. The Jews, in their idolatry, they worshiped a god called Molech. And they offered up their children unto this god. He was a fire god. And they let their children be sacrificed unto him, and these children would be burned to death. And while this took place, they had drums called topes. Therefore we read of Topheth, the valley of Hinnom, and this place called Topheth. From this, the Jews picture hell. It is just like this fire going on in this place, which consumed the bodies of children. My hearers, this place called hell is a place of torment. There, people whose souls enter therein will be tormented night and day, without end. This we find in this parable, Jesus describing this rich man. He opened his eyes in hell, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. In this, my hearers, we may think, and we may have in our minds, that if we enter into hell, we will be able to see the saints in heaven. The commentators, they differ verily in the description and in the explanation of this. Some believe that they actually will be able to see the saints. Others say, when this man lifted up his eyes in hell, he lifted up the eyes of his understanding. He began to think about Lazarus, where that Lazarus had went to. He had went to heaven. And Lazarus was being comforted. Lazarus was in a glorious place. He was in a place filled with joy and happiness. But this man, he was in a place of torment. He was in pain. He was in agony. He was suffering terrifically, because he begins to pray to Father Abraham, and he asked him if he wouldn't send Lazarus to him to dip his finger in water so that he could put it on the end of his tongue, because he was in torment. We have here something likewise, which some people believe in. Some people believe in praying to the dead. Some people believe in praying to saints in heaven that they can help us out. We have here this rich man praying to Abraham, asking him to send this man Lazarus so that he would have a little relief from the agony that he was in, the torment that he was in, all that he would only come and touch the tip of his tongue with a little water. You see, he was being tormented with his tongue. You know, the tongue is an organ of speech. And now this man began to think of all the hard words, all the cursing and all the swearing and all the things that he had said against God. And these things came back to this man. Conscience began to do its office. And this man, he came into such agony with his tongue. His words had been cruel, they had been sinful. And now he's suffering the consequences thereof already in his tongue. All there only would send Lazarus so that he would touch it with a little water, that it may be cooled off. Likewise, the tongue is an organ of taste. In his life, this man, he had tasted many good things. He had enjoyed many things that were good to eat, because he had been rich and he fared sumptuously every day. And now he had nothing. He had not even a drop of water. And my hearers, was his prayer heard? Was his prayer answered? No, my hearers. For there was no opportunity for Abraham to send Lazarus to this man who was in hell. Abraham spake unto him and said unto him that he had had his good things in his life, and Lazarus had had his evil things. And now Lazarus was comforted, but he was tormented. Again, my hearers, he is brought to remember of all the good things that he had in his life. Son, remember how thou hast had thy good things in thy life. Oh, my hearers, if ever you enter into that place, that'll be a worm in your conscience, in your mind. Son, daughter, remember. You were warned, you were spoken to, you were pleaded with to flee from this place, and you would not listen. Oh, there were good things that were spoken to you. This rich man likewise had these things spoken to him, but he gave no heed thereto. He paid no attention to it. He was more taken up with his riches and with the things of this life than with that place called hell. He never thought about that. Oh, what a terrible thing it'll be for any one of you, my hearers, to be in that place. And then, son, remember. Oh, I was a humble instrument, would entreat every one of my hearers. Where this man cried to Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus. Oh, may you learn to pray for mercy while the door is yet open, while it is not yet closed. The door was closed for this man. No mercy ever could reach him. The bridge had been taken up, and he was forever settled in that state. There was no relief possible for him. Such will be the eternity of the damned in hell. All my hearers, may you learn to flee yet from this wrath which is most certain to come. Oh, what a terrible thing it will be to have the gospel sounding in your ears, to have someone pleading for your immortal souls, and then to go on in your sins and to perish in them. Will not your damnation be just? Will you be able to answer God and say, I never heard of that place? All my hearers, there will be no answering God in that day. You will justify God in your own condemnation. because your conscience will go open, and it will speak with a thousand thunders unto you. And now, my hearers, this man, he desired that he would have some relief, and he got none. And now he begins to think about home. Oh, he had five brothers. And oh, should they ever come into this place where he is, oh, what an awful thing it would be for him. Every one of them brothers would say, you were the cause of it. You helped me to come here. He begins to think about his brothers. It was for him eternally lost. There was no hope for him to get out of that place. He did not say to Father Abraham, oh, deliver me out of this pit. Bring me out of it. Let me go home to my brothers and tell them all about this awful place. No. He entreated Abraham if he couldn't send Lazarus to his home, to his father's house, and that he would witness to them and tell them of what an awful torment he was in. We have here then the rich man. He has some affections yet for his brothers who are still alive. Whether there will be any affection in hell, I know not. But this is a parable, my hearers. And he's thinking about them. Oh, if he only would have spoken to them when he was alive. Oh, if he only had warned them from their sins and from their iniquities, but he had never done so. He had lived with them. He probably had been the instigator and the leader in going on in sin. And now he was suffering the consequences thereof. And now he thought, oh, if they ever come here, they'll point the finger at me. It'll make a hell in a hell for me if they come here. Oh, that someone would go and warn them, that someone would speak to them. And he entreats Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house, that he may witness to them. He knew that Lazarus knew his brethren. Lazarus had sat at the gate. Lazarus had seen these brothers many times. And they had respect for this man, Lazarus. Although he was poor and he had been a beggar, he was a child of God. He was an upright person. And now this man desired that Lazarus would go to this house and speak to his brethren and warn them in love and in mercy. This was another prayer that he sent up to Abraham. And it was not answered, my hearers. We see in this that people that teach to invoke saints, that there is no answer for their prayers. Every request that this rich man brought was denied. And now Abraham says unto this rich man that he could not send Lazarus to him because there was a great gulf fixed in between Lazarus and himself, so that those that were where he were could not pass to where Lazarus was, and that Lazarus and those that were with him could not come down to them. There was a gulf fixed. My hearers, this is fixed by the unalterable decree of God, the eternal decree of God, that there never will be any means of any going from one place to the other. When you die, then you are finally and eternally placed in that place that God has predestinated where you shall go. And you never will be able to deliver yourself. Or will any in heaven be able to come down and relieve any that are in hell. This gulf is a chasm that God has set in between heaven and hell. And now this man, he desired that Lazarus would go to his father's house, and his request was not granted, because Abraham, he said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. My hearers, this teaches us likewise that it is in and through the medium of the Word of God that sinners are converted, that sinners are prepared so that they will never enter into hell below. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. I come to you this afternoon. We have the Word of God before us. We have the scriptures which God uses for the true conversion of sinners. And my hearers, if we despise this, we make God a liar. Oh, despise not the feeble teachings that are brought yet to you, my hearers. We have the scriptures. Search them. As Christ himself said, search the scriptures. For ye mean in them to have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. It is by the word of God that souls are born again, are renewed and receive a new heart, and are turned from sin and iniquity unto the living God. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In those days, that was all that they had of the scriptures, and there was enough in Moses and the prophets for the salvation of sinners at that time. Let them hear them. Oh, my hearers, how many turn away from the word of God? How many do not believe this precious and infallible testimony? How many despise it and reject it? Oh, and what a day it'll be for such creatures when this word will testify against them to all eternity. And oh, let me entreat you, my hearers, that it may never testify against you. For you likewise are hearing it. And there's a day coming when God will say to you, then and then I spoke to you. Then and then I called to you. Then your conscience went open and you would not listen. You turned a deaf ear and you went on in your sin. Oh, flee, my hearers, flee, while it is yet called today. This rich man, he got no answer to this prayer. But Abraham said, let them hear Moses and the prophets. And he said unto Abraham, oh, if one should raise from the dead and go and talk to them, then surely they would hear. Oh, he wanted a wonder to take place. He wanted a miracle to take place. He wanted something that never happened before, that was unusual, that this Lazarus would go there and speak to them. And he considered that if he talked to them, he witnessed to them, and told them what was going on in hell, then surely they would hear, they would listen. My hearers, we have so many creatures in these our days. I've met them myself. What do they say? Dead is dead. Nobody ever came back and told us about it. And I don't believe anything of the Bible. You ever meet them creatures? They ever talk to you? I've had them speaking to me. My hearers, dead is not dead. There are two places that we go to. That's what this parable is teaching us. There's an eternity of hell torments, and there's an eternity of happiness and bliss in heaven above. And now this man wanted somebody to go there and raise from the dead and talk to him. He wanted something wonderful. You know, even if something like this had happened, and somebody that was raised from the dead went and talked. Suppose somebody that you know that died some time ago came and knocked on your door and began to tell you what hell was and tell you to flee. You know what would happen?
Have I got your attention? You know what would happen? You might be frightened.
You might be scared when you see such a person in the front of you. But as soon as the fright is gone, you will go on in your sins. You know, we can't get away from the Word of God because that's what God uses to convert sinners. He don't use apparitions. He don't use dead people coming up out of the graves to make sinners go to himself. He uses this precious word. That is the only means that God has given unto us for the conversion of sinners. Even if one came from the dead, that's what Abraham says, they would not heed. They would not listen. Believe me, my hearers, that the Bible has more authority than a person who may be raised from the dead and sent to your home to talk to you. This is the only means which God has appointed. And if we go outside of those means, my hearers, we are making God a liar. Oh, therefore, I would entreat you, my hearers, all appreciate the means, appreciate the Word of God that we have yet amongst us. It's precious, believe me, it's the Word of life. It's the Word whereby you yet can be born again, you can be saved, you can be delivered from the wrath which is to come. Oh, come unto the means, despise them not, turn not a deaf ear to them. But oh, let me entreat you in all kindness to your immortal souls, that you would become exercised with this precious word. Oh, say in yourself, I've been hearing this afternoon, there's a heaven and there's a hell. Where am I going to? Where will I end? What shall be my destination? Are you never exercised about it? Never troubled about it? Oh, could I but by the Spirit of God bring it into your heart that you would become so troubled, so exercised, that it brought you on your knees crying, oh God in heaven above, oh have mercy upon me. What a mercy it would be if every one of you, my hearers, were crying unto this God who is rich in mercy unto all that call upon him, and who despises none, believe me, that cry to him in truth and in uprightness. No sinner too great, no sinner too far gone, to whom this gospel is sent, and who may receive it by the power of the Spirit of God, that he could not be turned. Oh, turn ye then, my hearers, turn ye, before it will be finally and forever too late. Death makes a separation. Death is something that we all must go through, for it is appointed unto man to die. And we have here two men. They both die. And do not think that you're not going to die. The rich are that of that opinion. They build their houses and they put their names on them, and they name their countries after their names likewise. But my hearers, death takes them off the scene, and they likewise are laid in the grave. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, and death shall feed upon them. So likewise with me and you, we likewise must die, and must give an account of everything that we have done here below. Oh, to be found then in Jesus Christ, to be found in him, then we shall be safe for time and for eternity. This concludes our lesson for this afternoon.